Christmas is a time of hope, is it not? Some of the children that are here this evening are probably thinking that either tonight, if that's your tradition, or tomorrow morning, if that's your tradition, they're hoping that something will be under the tree or brought by someone that would fulfill a hope or a plan or a dream or some gift that they'd like. Any of you kids waiting for a gift or anything? Sometimes that's good. Christmas is a time of hope, and we focus in on hope because God fulfilled hope in the Christmas story at Christmas time. Let's just take the next few minutes and drill into how the God of hope gives us a gift of hope, and we can really use that this Christmas time. What do you hope for? Not gift-wise, but what do you hope for in life? I mean, some of us hope for our favorite football team to win, right? It's not always a sure thing, but we hope for it, right? Yeah, some of us are, yeah? Some of us hope that it'll snow. Some of us hope that it won't snow. My favorite brother here, Bill, you know? Some of us hope for the weather. I mean, there's all kinds of things we hope for, and we get this, we have no control over it. There's nothing that anyone can do about it. We just hope for it. God's gift of hope is different from all other types of hope. God's gift of hope is different than hoping for a present that someone else delivers. It's different than hoping on the weather that's totally outside of your control. It's even different than hoping for a good football game, you know, that you have no control over. God's gift of hope is something that the Bible talks about as an anchor, something that's solid, something that's dependable, something that you can anchor and depend your life upon. It's hope in God. Let's talk about that and how Christmas time, it's a time of wonder and of hope because Jesus really brings hope. We say thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We've been celebrating God's gifts around here. His gift of love, his gift of peace. Last week we talked about his gift of joy, and this week it's his gift of hope in our lives. The most important things at Christmas time are love, joy, peace, and hope. And I hope tonight, I plan tonight to zero in on that idea because it is indescribable, but we're going to try to describe it. You see, hope starts out from the very beginning of God's word, the very beginning of creation, when Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden, and temptation takes place, and sin enters the world, and cursed is the land, and there's a problem. But right at that point, God points out that there is a hope. In fact, he says, from now on, you and the woman are going to be at odds. There's going to be a problem between you and mankind. But as will your offspring and hers, you will strike his heel and he will crush your head. Way back, the first book of the Bible, it talks about a hope that's to come. One day somewhere there's going to be overpowering of this curse of creation and God's going to redeem his world. He's going to redeem his people. He's going to bring all things anew again. And in this case it says, the woman, notice it's not a man he's talking about. He says, to the woman, kind of foretelling of the virgin birth, where it was God and Mary bringing into existence the God-man, Christ Jesus. He says, her offspring, you will strike his heel. I mean, Satan thought he had it made when he put Christ on the cross and bruised his heel, but it says, he will crush your head. Finally, once and for all, through Jesus Christ coming to this earth, there's a hope that is fulfilled in God's earliest prediction of Christmas time, of Easter time, of Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection. It's from the very beginning. That's why the angels would say, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to be there for all people. You need to know tonight, God's got hope for you. You may have come into this service with a feeling of challenge or upset. You may be here disturbed because somebody couldn't be with you or someone has passed on or there's all kinds of challenges that are going on. But I want to say to you this evening, he's got great joy for you. He's got something above and beyond the challenges that you're going through right here at the moment. In fact, it says, in the beginning, God did this. But in past times, God spoke to us through all kinds of ways. Through the prophets, many times in various ways. But in these last days, his main word to us is through his son, Jesus. He's spoken to us lots of different ways through all of history. But today, our day, this time, right now, he's spoken to us primarily through his son, Jesus Christ. That's a hope that is fulfilled. People have been looking for this day and this time and this season for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. As God prepared the world for the entrance of his son, people longed for a day when we are now looking back on it. They longed for a day when God would touch down in human history like he did in the form of Jesus Christ. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom all things were made. The Son, look, catch this. The Son is the, what's it say? Radiance of God's glory. And the exact representation, catch that. He's the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. You see, for all the ages, from time's beginning and all through the Old Testament, God was waiting to fulfill his promise in Jesus. And we celebrate and have hope because of that joy, that promise being fulfilled. God kept communicating, but it all pointed to this Christmas day when God would touch down in that. One last thing about his hope. It's the hope of the ages. It's the hope that's gone from all time to now, that God wants to show us his love and his will. Matthew says it this way: all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. Now, I just want to encourage you, if you're a seeker or have some doubts, this is a fantastic thing to do. Spend some time examining the history as the prophets foretold and prophesied what was going to take place, and you will be amazed at how God predicted hundreds, almost 700 years before the event took place, the exact details of Jesus' life, birth, and especially the details about his birth. You can find out hundreds of years before that God predicted the time, the place, the circumstances, the details, even down to fleeing to Egypt and back. Many people have gone about seeking to disprove the Bible, but instead, looking at the prophecies, have said, this must be true. God used those, and he wanted to fulfill the hope of the ages. One of the modern characters we use to tell the Christmas story is sometimes Linus. Have you ever seen the Linus character as he reads scripture? You know, Charles Schulz wanted to, he was commissioned by Coca-Cola to put together a Christmas special. It was going to be an animated special because Charlie Brown and Peanuts was just soaring on popularity at that point. And so he was commissioned, but he said it's got to be certain details. He said he wanted a jazz music line. That had never been done before. They were like, well, I don't know if you can do that. You know the jazz music line in there. He said certain other details, and he said, it's got to have the biblical understanding of Christmas. And they're like, you can't do that on TV. This was clear back in 65. They were saying, no, you can't do that. He said, well, then I'm not going to do the project. And he stood by his conviction and told Linus could tell Charlie Brown what the true and real meaning of Christmas really is. Here's how it goes. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Have you ever noticed that he drops his security blanket right at the moment he says they were so afraid, they were terrified? And I think it's the only time you'll ever find Linus without his blanket. And maybe it's just to say that at the sight of God and his kingdom, his plan, his hope, all our insecurities kind of disappear. You know? And they were afraid, but we don't have to be. In fact, that's the next thing I want to focus. In the Old Testament, God fulfilled his hope to us But what I want to talk about for a minute is the day today for you and for me. Not the hope of the past, but the hope of today. And I just want to focus on the words that he uses for Jesus' names, okay? One of them, he calls him Emmanuel. What a great word. We sing that at Christmas time, don't we? Emmanuel. And it always includes the phraseology that interprets it, which means, what is it? God with us. Oh, of the hope that we have. You see, before Jesus touched down, there wasn't this idea that God was with us. There wasn't even the idea necessarily that God was for us. And there definitely wasn't the idea that God was in us. But with Jesus Christ being incarnated, he was coming in the form of human flesh. No longer was this ethereal, up in the sky, God that was invisible, you could not relate to. Now, in human form, for the first time, you could see God and the actions and behaviors of what it would be like if God lived on earth. What it would be like if God was a man. What it would be like if God had to make the choices that you and I have to make. No longer would we guess any longer. We could see in flesh and blood what God was up to. And we could know how to love one another. We could know how to give our lives and help one another. We could know what it really meant to have integrity and character like Jesus had. And he becomes God with us for that first time. And that is a hope that brings it down to today's age. I don't know what you're going through, but I guarantee if you focus in on God being with you, on God being not just somewhere, but right here, as close and as apparent as he desires to, as you desire him to be. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Think about the next phrase that comes out, and this is in Linus's phraseology there, but Jesus. You will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The Matthew version says, but after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Every person on the planet knows instinctively that there are things going on in our lives that we need to be forgiven for. There are things going on in our lives that block us from access to God. And so Jesus came. The whole purpose Jesus came was to be our Savior, to save us from our sins, to give us forgiveness. Just like that candy cane with the red that goes to white. He came to give us a soul and a spirit that the Bible says is whiter than snow, washed clean because of the sacrifice of Jesus. He is our Savior. And I got to just invite you this evening, no matter where you're at in your relationship with God, I just encourage you, accept him as the Lord, the Savior, the leader of your life. It's not what's under the tree that counts, but what's on the tree. And by the tree there, I mean the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, it was not just Christmas. Christmas by itself would not be much to celebrate if we didn't have Easter and the resurrection of Jesus. And what happens before Easter? The cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. He was born. He lived 30 years, but then he died a substitutionary death for you and for me. That's what made him the Savior of our sins, the forgiver of our sins. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed where? On the cross. On the cross. It's not what's under the tree. I hope you catch this evening. What's on the tree in your heart, in your mind, is all important. Is Jesus, the Lord, the Savior for you. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. The coming into earth of a physical baby boy. God-man. And it's because of Christ's physical body through death, that he presents us holy in his sight. You know, when he looks at someone who's a believer, when he looks at you if you love Jesus, when he looks at your life, he doesn't see the sin that you've committed. He sees the perfect specimen of holy life based on Jesus. Not based on you, not based on your goodness, totally based on his gift of solid grace for your life. Without blemish and free from any accusation. Don't you want to be free from accusation? See, that's the neat thing about Christmas. It gives us a hope for right now. We can be free from accusation and go through our life knowing that we're forgiven. The last thing he says in Linus's quote, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus the Christ. Not Jesus' last name. The is not Jesus' middle name. But it's his title. His title. He is the Messiah. And here focus on the Lord part. Because he's given us someone to give us purpose, meaning, and instruction to help us lead our lives. If you're confused about life, if you're a young person here this evening and you don't know what to do or how to do it, I want to encourage you. You've been given a leader. You've been given someone who is a Lord, who is a master. He is Jesus the Christ, and he will help you morally. He will help you, most of all, relationally. You want to have success and joy in this life and in your relationships? Follow the Lord. Follow the leader. That gives you hope. You don't have to make up, you don't have to make all the mistakes yourself. You can trust him and avoid mistake after mistake because he's given you the joy gift of lordship. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Master, the Leader. He is the God who leads and who gives us. And that's the purpose for which Christmas took place, so he could give us lordship and lead us. One more thing. One more thing is to think about this planet's not all there is. The best days you're going to have, you might live to be 100. Some of us don't want to live that long, but you know, let's say you live to be 100. Nobody has ever gotten off the planet alive. The death rate is 100%. You know? So what then? I heard about a book this week. It's like how to prepare to give the details to your family like after you die. So the name of the book is Now I'm Dead, Now What? You know, and I just thought, you know, so you give your family this book that says where your savings accounts are and all these details. But I'm like, what if we really took that to heart? Well, now I'm dead, now what? What if we asked ourselves that question while we're walking around on the planet? Now I'm dead, now what? You see, this life is but a practice, a rehearsal, a dress rehearsal for the real life that is to come. For life that is above and beyond this, the Bible calls eternal or everlasting life. And so God wants to give you not just a hope for going through your challenges today. He wants to give you a hope for the future. A hope for eternity. And that's what it's really, that's why he came and gave his life. Praise be to God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us new birth. And listen to this, a living hope. Folks, more than anything tonight, I want to encourage you. He has for you a living and abiding hope that doesn't just last for the moment, but lasts forever. Are you catching that? A birth into a living hope through the inheritance and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He calls all men to salvation. It's appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that would live sober, righteous lives, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of his glorious appearing. So it's not just the first coming that we're thinking about tonight. The first coming leads us to think about his return. He not only hung on a cross and resurrected from the dead, he resurrected and went to heaven and is preparing a place, the Bible says, for you and for me. John 14 says it this way, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me," Jesus said. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will return." See, Jesus wants us to live not just worshiping the fact that he came to this world, but he wants us to live in such a relationship with God through him that we are excited about his return and his return to take us home with him. It's an exciting future that he has in store for us. The hymn says it this way: the thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices. Just think about that thrill of hope. See, that's what he's giving us. It's not just a significant event to think about. He's given us hope for the future and an excitement about what's to come. So I don't know about you, but I would encourage you to enjoy his gifts to you of hope and spread his hope, spread his love. Let it be contagious. Get so excited about it yourself that you want to take as many people with you to heaven. Because God's not going to take people to heaven who don't want to go. If you're not excited about going and don't want to go, he is not going to force you. That's biblically taught. He doesn't force anybody into a relationship with him. He is what we would say a gentleman and invites you in. But if you want to go, he'll let you take as many people as you want and to encourage to go with you. That's a thrill of hope that can be realized in your life and in my life. So let's just conclude that. What are you hoping for? What are you hoping in? And what are you hoping, what is your hope really based on this evening? Are you putting your trust in Jesus Christ and in his life? Are you putting all of your hope in him? Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your own goodness or your own works, but trust him. Let me conclude with this. May the God, listen to this, of hope. Underline that if you get a minute. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow. I mean, this is a word of an abundance here. So he wants you to overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you tonight. He has hope for you. If you came with a waning hope, he wants to pump you up so that it's overflowing in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've come and your hopes have been dashed and you're discouraged tonight, he wants this to be a season where you're built up in the Holy Spirit and his hope, what's fulfilled in the Old Testament, what's right now infilling your life and instilled in your life, and what is for the future. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are asking you, the God of all hope, to encourage our lives, encourage our hearts, and give us your grace, give us your mercy, give us your leadership. Lord, may we experience tonight that you are God with us, that you are Emmanuel. May we experience tonight that you are Jesus, the one who saves. May we experience tonight that you are the Lord, the Christ, the leader of life. And may those aspects of Jesus' life give us great hope tonight. We surrender ourselves. We yield ourselves. May this Christmas day, this Christmas Eve and time be a time of hope because of you. In Jesus' name, amen.